We'll see. Oh, look at that. I am amplified in my sound. I can talk really loud if I needed to. So, like Chris said, we have been able to be friends for a long time. And I remember early on with Way of Life, I was able to come and encourage folks quite a bit. And it's encouraging to see what God has been doing with this fellowship and to see this gathering this morning. And so, The reality is, I get to pastor right now a community of folks who have been experiencing homelessness. And so God has been at work in me and at work in that group, and I'm going to share kind of examples from that. But Chris really asked me to lean in to this topic of faith. And in a beautiful way, that wasn't hard to do. God was really stirring me in a few different directions. So as we come to look at this, I just want to start for folks that I haven't met before, just kind of leaning into the story of God kind of creating more faith in me. I think when we think of the word love, We spend a lot of time as a faith community and as a church getting our mind around that. And we know that, you know, God is love. And we can love because God first loved us. And we recognize we need to accept his love if we're going to be transformed into loving people. So I began actually this week meditating on the idea that faith is probably the same way. If anyone is certain of those things that are not yet to come, it's the Lord. And if we want to look at what is it to live a life of faith, then we can look at the person of Jesus and say, what does it look like to embody humanity and live by faith in the Father? And so we can look at the person of Jesus in that way. And so 12 years ago, we were just doing this little, it was supposed to be one potluck in the park, you know, just doing our thing. You know, it feels good to serve a meal to folks who are homeless. And so we were going to have the meal and, you know, pray for some folks and go on with our lives. That was the plan. So after We had this meal, and I'm feeling pretty good. Our church group had been praying for people. I could see things to celebrate. And then this woman named Julie, she stood up in our meeting, and she said, I think God is laying a scripture on my heart. And so Julie read for us this scripture, just kind of unprompted, from Luke 14. It says, Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So in that moment, after she finished reading, she said, today was the first day I'd ever been obedient to Jesus in that way. And she said, I think we need to be obedient to Jesus' words. And that sent us on this crazy journey of we started doing meals once a month, then it was once a week, and then it was coordinating with lots of folks. And right now, we share a meal every day but Saturday. and so it's a little bit wild. And but I saw a call to faith in this passage and a call to faith that Jesus modeled for us over and over again. So it doesn't take a lot of faith to think, I should invite my friends over. We're going to have a good time. We have good expectation of that. And, you know, they're probably going to invite me over too. We're probably going to go out to dinner sometime. You know, this is how relationships work. It actually takes faith beyond just the normal way of things to say, I want to take my time, I want to take my resources, I want to take the best food I can, and I want to offer that and share that with someone who outwardly is not deserving, outwardly is not a person who has a home to invite me into, that outwardly, you know, I don't know if this person has anything to give to me. I'm in a relationship of just starting by giving to them. To ever do anything like this, and if you have done anything like this, it's a complete act of faith. It is not just logic, 1 + 1, we should go out and serve people who are homeless. We should just go and give things away. We should just open our tables. It doesn't make sense outside the kingdom of God. It requires faith to be generous and to believe what Jesus says, that we would be a part of an everlasting kingdom. That the rewards are not right now, they're at the resurrection. And so I was really enjoying kind of sitting with that this week. And I wonder, where does that hit you in your life? Where do you find yourself in that place where it's like, you know, this is not just immediately making sense financially. Or this isn't just the way our family does things, but it seems like obedience to Jesus right now is saying yes to this. And the good news is, this isn't just DJ saying, well, it worked for our church to serve the homeless, and so you should do it too. I mean, it's about, you know, what does love and obedience look like in your own life? Who are the people in your own life that God is putting in your path that he's calling you to risk on and to have faith? Because for Jesus, he modeled this for us. You know, it was risky to go around, you know, talking to all these women who had a bad reputation. But for some reason, the Father kept putting those people in his path. It probably would have been a lot more convenient for Jesus to just work with his disciples instead of continually engaging basically the government of his day, in continually engaging the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I mean, who are those people in your life? Maybe they're building inspectors. Maybe they're people at your job. The people who are leaders or in authority over you, those could be the people that God is asking you. It may take faith to love these people. It may not just make sense in your head that they're deserving of your time or relationship. The next picture that I have, One of the things that I saw there with Church at the Park and what we were doing is we started out saying, let's just take a baby step and do these meals. But, you know, God immediately starts making it messy, right? He starts asking you to risk on real relationship. It's a hard time right now with COVID. Let's all, you know, be honest that we feel like the world and even, you know, our government is asking us to have distance from people, right? Physical distance. But that can begin to create emotional distance, right? Where we get into this area of self-protection. And self-protection is the way of the world, right? It's not the way of the kingdom. It's not what Jesus is asking us to have faith in and to risk in. In the picture there, I just came from Church at the Park, And so I've been in relationship with Steve there with the black hat for 12 years. And so when Steve first started coming to the banquet table, you know, he would just get a meal and get as far away from the group as possible. And when I would try to talk to him, he'd be like, I don't need the faith stuff. I got karma figured out. And yet, Steve was a person that God was just nudging me, you know, you need to see him. You need to risk real relationship with Steve. And so, you know, a few times he got sick. And so I went and visited him in the hospital. And again, real relationship can break down barriers and create relationship. And so the next thing I know, Steve, I'll tell his story because it's like, I kind of wish I had this kind of story, but I believe God meets us where we need him to. And he works with us in a way that we're going to understand. So Steve had someone steal from him. He was living out at the park, and Steve has a pretty violent past. And Steve was getting up to go show that person they should never steal from him. He was going to hurt them. And he felt like an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Steve, don't do this. I love you. I have good plans for your life." So he came the next day, was Sunday. He came and shared that, and we're like, whoa, that hasn't happened to any of us, but that's pretty cool. A month later, Steve got baptized, and it's now been like 10 years that Steve cares for the grounds at our Church of the Park property, and he rarely ever misses a Sunday. And it's like the possibility of someone going from, you know, broken, violent, living out the ways of the world, believing karma is the way, to, you know, a person fully devoted to Jesus, it required faith. It required risk and relationship. And so again, I would pause and say, who is that person in your life? They could be a family member. They could be a coworker. Who is it that when you see them, you see they're like gone? Like maybe there's no hope for them. There's hope for other people, but not them. I mean, how could I paint Steve's story any darker to say, you know, he was one of those guys you would think, you know, there's no chance for him? And so again, I think God is the one who has the greatest amount of faith in transformation, the greatest amount of faith in what he can do in people's lives. And we need some of that, right? When we look at our family members, when we look at the people we work with, we need eyes of faith to see what God can do, not just where they're at right now. Let's go to the next picture. See, I got to remember where I am because, you know, in a good way, Chris is doing this good thing of challenging me. Like, don't just do your normal presentation, man. We want to hear about faith. Okay, so I kind of just told a Steve story, but Kelly is a person right now who this week she is going to start a real paying job with us, managing as one of the facility hosts of our women's shelter. 1 year ago, Kelly was stuck in an abusive relationship. She had very little hope for life at all. She had just lost her son who had been murdered. And so, you start seeing the levels here where someone needed to have faith in Kelly, but Kelly needed to have faith that God was real, that God could do anything in her life. 1 year ago in November, we sat down with 30 of our folks and we did interviews, and we had a photographer do their pictures to try to express like their story. And here's one of the things that Kelly shared when we asked her, what could we pray for you about 1 year ago? 1 year ago, Kelly said, pray that I don't die tomorrow, that I get a chance for a new life. I am not done here yet. For the first time in my life, I think the people at the church would miss me if I were gone. Please be kind to the people who are homeless. They need support. Kindness goes a long way to me making it through the day. So 1 year ago, Kelly needed faith that she was going to make it through a day. And faith is part of the equation of a community seeing that she had more potential than that. That she could not only make it through a day, but she could be a person who helps other people. And so again, I don't want this to be about like nice stories about folks who are homeless. Who is that in your life that today, maybe they're battling with depression? Maybe it is a darkness that's hard for others to see, or maybe they wear it like a coat, like you could see that they're hurting. And can we encourage them that God has faith in their future? God has good plans for them. Plans that maybe they can't see today. Well, this is just a little picture of kind of how we've tried to live out of the text of Luke 14. And there is a lot. Here's where I want to go with this. When we first started this, we had no idea how hard it would be to kind of week after week experience the trauma and how hard it is for folks who are homeless. Right now, each week, the worst part of what I get to do is I usually hear about a woman being abused or, you know, experiencing violence in a given week. And so that can be disheartening to think, are we making any difference? How can we handle this much pain? And so one of the practices that we started doing is every month we would sit with this passage and remember, Jesus is asking us to do this. We want to have faith that sharing a meal is going to make any difference. So I want to tell you, the first year of just sharing meals and praying for people, we didn't see anybody get baptized. We didn't know if it was making any difference. And it took time to build trust and to build relationship. And so now we're sitting 12 years later, and I mentioned Kelly, but there's 9 other people at the park who were employing to run this women's shelter, where they've been going through weeks of training, where they're going to be healthy enough and strong enough to care for other people who were in their spot like a year ago. And yet, I'll tell you, you know, there probably hasn't been a year that has gone by in the 12 years where our leadership team has said, like, can we go on? Can we keep doing this? This is really hard. And so it takes faith to keep going. Just because, you know, sharing meals or helping folks is a good thing, and Jesus is asking us to do it, doesn't mean it's not really hard. And again, I keep leaning into, where is that in your life? And I keep mentioning family, because I think family can be one of the hardest areas to hold out faith. And when we go to a job over and over again, We can think it's static and it's not going to move. What time are we supposed to wrap up, Chris? I want to make sure I'm like in the right universe of, you know, expectation here. Soonish. Okay. Soonish. That's good. Let's just click through. Keep moving here. So one of the things that I just shared there is the idea that whoever we're trying to help, we've had to recognize, you know, we need to, if we go to that person feeling like you're always going to be homeless, you're always going to be a pain, but I'm at least, you know, at least I'm serving you, that isn't going to create transformation. And that's a lack of faith on my part. You know, again, I was just out at Church of the Park, and it was crazy before the service. You know, six people want to talk about a problem they're having with other folks. And then after the service, like, it was a great time. We were praying for each other. But then, you know, four people, their camps are flooded out. And I can lose sight that God has a good plan for this person. I can lose faith in, like, it's bigger than a sleeping bag or a tent. It's about the transformation of a person. And so we've been leaning into these values of, we need to believe in the transformation of every person so that we can invite them not just to get served, but to serve with us. And that's part of, you know, what has been exciting. And that's part of what I would say is, like, what is God stirring in this community? I know that in a good way, you know, when you're in transition, that can be a beautiful time for God to speak to you. Like, and not just who are we supposed to serve, but how is that going to be transformative to their neighborhood, to that school, to who you're serving? So I'll get to kind of the announcement part. So this was going to be our 10th year of doing what we felt like was a really beautiful thing at Christmas. Instead of just handing out gifts, you know, we've been doing this retreat at Aldersgate. So I was trying to twist it all and twist everybody's arm and make it happen anyway, but it's not happening at Aldersgate. So then I'm like, I don't want to go out to people and tell them no and tell them, like, we're going to do less. So I'm like, okay, if we say we're going to do 12 days of Christmas, that's more than in the past. So what we're doing is, you know, we've had about 20 different churches touch this effort. So I thought, you know what, between 20 different churches, we can do 12 special meals, and we can give out a unique new item each day, and we can invite churches to come out and do worship and pray for people and really kind of increase the level of just proclamation of good news and hope at the Christmas season. And so that's what's happening, the kind of shift from Room in the Inn, which you guys have been beautiful partners with before in both serving and music and helping. And now, as Liz was sharing, you guys are doing some specific items. I took a picture of what you're doing, and I'm going to share it with other churches. Like, you know, when you think, like, 12 items and go to a website, it's like, you guys made it so tangible. That's beautiful in terms of, like, here are the items. You can, you know, take a stocking, adopt them, bring them back. Nailed it. Way to go. But know that our hope in this is not to get somebody a sleeping bag. Our hope is not just a meal, it's hope for the transformation of a life. And because we've been at it for 12 years, we know that someone who comes at Christmas just to get a tent or a sleeping bag, they may be running the program in a year. Like, that is what God might have in mind for that person. And, you know, I trust that God has enough, you know, faith and hope for each person that he can lend to me if I'll actually, you know, listen and have his eyes to see the different people that we're working with and that you're working with. Is there anything, am I making anything about the 12 days of Christmas thing more confusing than it was before? Okay, so it's good. Well, I think then I would love to pray for everybody. That'd be cool. Living God, I just thank you that you were willing to put flesh on faith, put flesh on love. We are just thankful again for the person and example of Jesus, that he lived out faith for us. He gives us an example. But then we also have your Holy Spirit to be our counselor and our instructor. And so I know that each person in this room, we have people in our life that it's hard to have faith for, that it's hard to see what you're doing in their life. It's hard to see that their life could be transformed. And I pray that you would give us faith and eyes to see what you're up to. Father, I don't want to neglect the fact that some of us in this room may question whether you have good plans for our own life. And things may have been hard this year and painful. And I pray that you would give us faith that you are at work, that you call us beloved, that when you look at us, you see beloved sons and daughters. Thank you for this time together this morning, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, DJ. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your friendship, appreciate your ministry, and your encouragement. Your encouragement really to follow Jesus in everything that he's calling us to do. Open our tables, which is, it seems like a really difficult thing to do right now, right? And it feels like something that is a challenge to us to be creative. How can we minister to people where they're at, in the places where they're at, in the situations that they're at, and including our own family and friends? How do we minister to them? How do we obey Jesus in everything that he's asked us to do? We have to first know what Jesus is asking us to do. And so I just want to encourage you, just as he did, get involved with the 12 days of Christmas. Yvonne and I are probably going to do some singing and entertainment there for one of the times. And as a church, we have many opportunities. So make sure that you get involved in that and support it. It's just been a tremendous blessing over the years. And I know that it'll continue to be a beautiful partnership and friendship, and as we continue to minister in that way. So let's stand as we close in prayer. And I just want to say, you know, whether you're at home on Zoom or whether you're here in person, we love you and we want to have true fellowship with you. We're not interested in just passing by each other and greeting. We want life together in rich, deep relationship. So on your way out, don't hesitate to stop by, say hi to the folks that are on Zoom, and greet them and chat with them, and make sure you're connecting with each other throughout the weeks as we're leading up to Christmas. Things obviously may change a little bit here and there, but the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his church is the same as well. We're his body and bride, and we love that. So praise God. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. God, you are faithful even when times are difficult. You are faithful even when we can't see it. You're faithful and doing amazing things in the world even when we can't comprehend it. And I just was struck this week by the thought that when the world needed a savior, when a world needed a mighty king, a defender, you brought a suffering servant in Christ. And it's you tend to do things upside down from what humanity sees as the answer. And Lord, it may be that we don't see why it is that that we're in the situation that we're in right now, Lord, in this world. It may feel upside down, but Lord, we know that your plan is perfect. And we don't want to kick against it. We don't want to kick against it so much, being stubborn so much that we don't see the suffering servant in Christ. We don't see the true nature of what it is that you're doing in this time, in this moment. Lord, we love you. We give you praise. We want to hear from you. We want to see you. We want to acknowledge you. We want to serve you. We want to proclaim the gospel, the good news. We want to bring people to Jesus and reconcile them to you. Lord, use us, help us, mold us and shape us into the likeness of the image of Christ. Lord, may we be obedient to you. Thank you, Lord, for the service of DJ and his team at Church of the Park. Help us to be a very integral cog in that ministry, Lord. And Father, continue to bless. I pray a specific blessing over Church of the Park, Lord, for a financial windfall as they want to purchase property out there. Lord, I pray that you would provide for them in a financial windfall, that it would be obvious that your hand is on this, guiding them and leading them. May you just provide for that ministry, Lord. We love you and we give you praise. Thank you for this Advent season and for the faith that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.